Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. Just a couple announcements as we begin. If you notice there inside your bulletin, just a little insert there, a couple reminders. First of all, of a fellowship event that will be for the Covenant Brethren Blue Ridge Region, which is what we are a part of. It's going to be at the Antioch Church in Woodstock on September the 23rd. Gathering around 4:30, and then we're eating around 5:30. You don't have to bring anything to that. That's a catered event, and we're going to have some staff there from National Church. I hope that you can go to that. I really hope that we have a group from Moscow that is able to attend and be a part of that. I plan on being there, for one, but it sure would be nice to be more than just the preacher there. And so I hope that others from the church are able to come. We're actually going to have a van that will leave here, and we'll have to tell you exactly when, but if we're going to get there by 4:30 or so, it's about an hour to get there, so somewhere around 3:30 we'll be leaving here. It's going to just be a nice event and opportunity for you to meet other brothers and sisters in the Covenant Brethren, and we're looking forward to that. So I hope that you can participate in that, put that on your calendar, and try to make that if you can. Also, of course, we're still saving the date for the Youth Fall Festival. The Christian Ed group will get together this week and be working on plans for that, so be sure to make sure that that's on your calendar as well. Also, on the back of your bulletin, something else you need to put on your calendar is our upcoming picnic, and maybe you've seen the wonderful bulletin done by Lean Allen this morning as you came in. They had all the great pictures, and I think it said something about rain or shine, so we'll be sure to have that either way. We have that nice shelter there at Natural Chimneys that we used last year. Plenty of room. And last year, I think it even cooled off, and we started a fire there in the fireplace, and well, it was really nice. We had a good time. So just because it rains doesn't mean that the picnic is out. Come and bring a dish or two, bring your chair, and just for that time of fellowship and worship there. That'll be on Sunday, September 10th. So be sure to put that on your calendars, because the church will be worshiping at Natural Chimneys that morning, not here at our facility here. Yeah, and you can see that in the pictures too with the kids. They found the mud puddles, and the adults enjoyed the fire, I think. So, yeah, it was really, really a nice event. Also, notice here that there's an NRMA youth event coming up. That's September 17th from 1 to 4:30. They're going to have a pizza party at Gypsy Hill, followed by a hike through the Blue Ridge Tunnel. Maybe you've seen that, or maybe you've already been there, but that's something that's going to happen. All ages are invited to the event, of course, but smaller children would need to be accompanied by a parent. Also, Kenny Woods will be taking we might just start calling this the church van. Yeah, the church van. Kenny's taking the van for those needing transportation. And so I hope, again, we have a good group of children that can go and participate in that. Are there any other additions that you'd like to share, or announcements that you'd like to share, Kenny?
September the 30th is the youth group's harvest day. And we're putting everything together. I'd like to go ahead and ask for anybody who's willing to donate some applesauce. The gallon cans would be nice from Costco. What is that? The Super Sharp Shopper.
Sharp Shopper.
We also are looking for cakes and pies. We plan to do a small cake wheel. And Martin's, throw y'all's name out there. We're looking for some pumpkins, too, to do some painting. So if anybody's willing to donate a little bit there, and money donations is fine, too. That'll help out on, we still need some pint jars. We're collecting the wide mouth jars. And I think that's good for now on that issue, but September 23rd, the trip to Antioch Church. The van is 15 passengers. Don't be afraid to say, oh, well, the van's going to be crowded. I have access to another 15-passenger van, so if we happen to get a number of people that want to go, we do have access to two vans. So don't be afraid to say, oh, well, it's going to be crowded. No, we're good to go.
Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. And, of course, he's giving you those ingredients that we're going to be making apple butter with children here on that fall festival day. And the apple butter will be for sale as a fundraiser for the youth program. So I've never made apple butter before, so I'm going to surround myself with a lot of people that know what to do.
I had to invite some people who knew what they were doing.
We're asking around and getting all the information we need to make it, but I think it'll be a great success and a great fundraiser for the youth program, as well as delicious for each of you if you get some of that apple butter. And, you
know, I forgot something.
Kenny?
We're also doing a silent auction. So anything that you want to donate towards the silent auction, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. More information will be forthcoming as we meet and make these plans. So Kenny, thank you so much for your leadership on that. Titus, do you have something?
They say the sweetened is better. That way you don't get a soured applesauce, but we're adding sugar, so I'm afraid you don't want to make it too sweet. So probably an unsweetened.
I would give it just sweet.
Okay.
Okay. Well, any advice or information, should certainly share it with us if you've made apple butter before. I know some have. Tessa's made it before. And so... yeah, we'll take all the advice we can get, but we hope to do a good job. And main thing is have a great time with the children and a good experience there. Okay, any other announcements you'd like to share at this time, Megan?
I have a quick correction.
Okay.
I looked at it wrong about
the reading.
I'll be doing it later.
Yeah, that's fine, Megan. And... we always have plenty of backup flowers that are here, and so no trouble. I made the same mistake and told someone wrong once before, too, so don't feel bad. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, just thank you again for the opportunity to gather as your family, the family of God. Lord, we come worshiping you, praising your Son, Jesus. Lord, we're singing our praises to him. Lord, we're worshiping him here. And Lord, we just thank you so much for that relationship that we have with our Savior, Lord Christ Jesus. Lord, we praise his name here together, and we glorify his name. Lord, just pray your Spirit will move in our midst here this morning. Lord, just draw our hearts close to you, Lord, as we seek to follow and be obedient to all that you desire in our life. We just praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together for our morning call to worship. This coming out of your bulletins from out of your bulletin from portions of John chapter 15. And Jesus said, "As the Father loves me, I also have loved you.
Abide in my love.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As the Father has loved me, I also have abide in my love." Let's turn our hymnal now to page 529, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." page 529.
The name I love to hear, I love to sing its birth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Be seated. Okay, I just want to take a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises now. One praise that I'll give you, and maybe just kind of a reminder as well, that Dick Yates will be having a birthday this week on Wednesday, the 23rd. And, you know, Dick has suffered several different health issues, and so I'm just encouraging each of you maybe to send Dick a birthday card and just tell him that you're thinking of him and that that you're wishing him a happy birthday on Wednesday. I think that would really be a great thing for Dick there. So if you think about that and get a chance, would you be willing to send Dick Yates a birthday card? His birthday is Wednesday, the 23rd. And his address, if you don't have it, it is in the directory. And there are plenty of directories available there in the Narthex. You can just grab one if you don't have one, but you'll find Dick's address there. So we certainly continue to pray for Dick and just pray God will continue to heal him and help him with his health. And we just lift that family up. So appreciate all the prayers and thoughts. And I know he will really appreciate the birthday cards that he receives from Moscow there this week. Also, I got word this morning from Joanne. We were praying for her niece, Lisa Strotterman, and we got word this morning that all the tests for her, what she thought was cancer, came back good. And so we just count that up to answered prayers. We praise the Lord for that, and just know that God's at work. I know Lisa was praising the Lord and wanted to thank everyone for all the prayers from the church. And so we just give God the credit, really, that God worked a miracle. And so we know that her heart is praising the Lord as ours are too. Just thank the Lord for the good results there. And would you just continue to lift Lisa up in prayer? She still has... that's right. Yep, absolutely. Yes, main thing is no cancer. We just praise the Lord for that. Also, if you would, continue to pray for my wife, Deborah. She's continuing to heal from a surgery that she had. Well, three different places, her back, her arm. And so she's still recovering from that, although the arm seems to be infected. And she's gotten antibiotic treatment at the hospital once for it already. And I think maybe she'll have to go tomorrow back to the surgeon. And they may have to do another procedure on it because of all the infection that she has. So if you would, just keep her in your prayers as she recovers from this surgery. Also, many have asked again about an update for my dad. He slowly is recovering. It's a slow process. His body had been through a whole lot just in the last couple weeks, and the doctors seem to think that's kind of going to be how things go. It's just a very slow recovery. So appreciate all your prayers for him. He is, I think, each day he's getting a little better, but he's still extremely exhausted and just continues to need your prayers. I shared this last week. Again, our family and my dad shares the appreciation for all the prayers and cards and phone calls. It means a whole lot to him and my mom and the family. So really appreciate Moscow for all that you guys have done and reaching out to them and encouraging both of them through this very difficult time. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Jackson? Okay. Say it again, Jackson, a little louder though. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. He's doing a lot better, isn't he? So we praise the Lord. That's answered prayers, isn't it, Jackson? And that's how God works. That's how God works. He answers our prayers. And we just praise the Lord. Think back just a few weeks ago, months ago. That was a scary situation for Kenny.
The swelling's still there. It's still swollen pretty bad, but I do manage to slip it into my boot. So I wear matching shoes now.
But God worked a miracle there too, and we just praise the Lord for that, Kenny. At one point you were worried you might even lose your foot, and so we just praise God for the answered prayers there. Thank you, Jackson, for sharing that prayer and that praise, rather. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share?
Are there Huey Sprouse?
Yes. Okay. Please lift up Huey Sprouse, receiving cancer treatment, and just continue to pray for his recovery from that last treatment. So praise the Lord. Imagine he's happy about that. Yeah. Other? Billy?
This week I finished 30 weeks of therapy.
Yes, praise the Lord, Billy. Right. Yep, praise God, Billy. It was just like Long John Silver's, wasn't it? When I'm at Long John's, I ring the bell. That's great, Billy. We just answered prayers, testament to answered prayers. And we just praise the Lord. We know you're feeling better. We can see it in your face that you're feeling better. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And we continue, though, to lift you up in prayer, Billy, as we know this will take more than 30 weeks, but God's got this, and He's helping you through it, so we just praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward now and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Wasn't that wonderful? Faith of our fathers. That was beautiful, Gene. Yeah. I'm asking too much. Let's share together in the doxology. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do glorify You here this morning. Lord, You're so worthy of our love. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. Lord, You loved us in a true love and that You gave Your life for each of us upon a cross. Lord, You were holy and innocent. Lord, Your Son, there was no sin in Him. And yet, Lord, He was willing to take upon all the sins of the world there upon the cross. He was willing to lay down His life so that we might have life. And Lord, we thank You for Him. We glorify the name of Jesus here together. Lord, we praise and proclaim the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that all the world might know the wonderful name of Jesus. Just how beautiful that sound is, knowing, Lord, of all that He accomplished for us. Lord, we just want the world to know that as well and to hear that message of hope and faith and love. Lord, we praise Him, the One who loved us above any other, and Lord, whom we know love by, and Lord, we understand love through Him. Lord, I pray for those upon our prayer list this morning, Lord, those that are continuing to heal from surgeries, Lord, those that are recovering, Lord, those that have received miracles that they no longer have cancer. Lord, we just thank You for these answered prayers that we continue to receive and see. Lord, we continue to lift up those that need help, Lord, need Your healing. Lord, we offer those names to You here this morning, those that have been spoken, and Lord, those that are within our hearts. Lord, we pray for our offertory this morning as well, too, Lord. We just pray You continue to bless those that give. Lord, as we faithfully serve You, Lord, we just pray that You continue to bless us. And Lord, You tell us in Your Scripture that Your blessing is like a cup that overflows. And Lord, we know, Lord, that our cup is overflowing because of the blessings that You give us and we receive in our life. Lord, we pray that as we turn to Your Scriptures that You continue to speak to us. Open our hearts, Lord, and ears to hear Your Word. And as we think about, Lord, the words of Jesus speaking to our heart this morning, I just pray our hearts are open to receive it. Lord, that our ears are attentive to hear what Your Spirit is speaking to us. And Lord, we just continue to praise You each and every day. We glorify Your name. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can now be dismissed. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're continuing on through the series of what did Jesus say about? Of course, we've covered various topics already, and this morning we're looking at what Jesus had to say about freedom and obedience. Freedom and obedience. And freedom is not really what you're thinking about when we think about freedom as an American. A lot of times we think about the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, when it comes to freedom. But what we're really talking about this morning when it comes to the Christian freedom is really this freedom to live as we choose, want to live or choose to live. Really, what did Jesus say about freely living? God has made us free. And so what is this free living? What are we free to do or not to do? What does God have to say? What does Jesus have to say about freedom and obedience. And so last week, I ended the sermon really with that scripture. If you heard me, John 8 and 32, and we'll look at that again here. But it's that scripture, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so here's this freedom. The truth shall make you free. What are we talking about? Freedom. What is this freedom that God has given us? What does that mean? What freedoms do we have? And then what freedoms do we not have, really? If God has come to make us free, what are we free from? What are we free to do? How are we free to live? That's kind of the question here. And really, I think it even goes to the side of the question, are we free to do anything? Is this freedom that we've received, this liberty that we have received in Christ, does it give us the freedom to do anything we please? Are we just free to live our life any way that we want? Are we free to live as we see fit, as we desire? Is that the freedom that Christ is talking about here? You know, we talked about Christ setting us free from the law and giving us then freedom. Is that freedom then to love God and do as I please? Hear that statement. Is that freedom then to love God and do as I please? All right, let's turn here to John chapter 8. Jesus has something to say about obedience and freedom here. And we're picking up really kind of where I'd left off that last sentence there. But we'll start back at verse 31. We'll read to verse 36, chapter 8, of book of John. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, that last statement I gave you there, love God and do as you please, really is an old statement. In fact, it dates all the way back to about somewhere between 396 and 430 A.D. And it comes from a guy that was a church philosopher and a theologian, St. Augustine. He was the bishop of Hippo from 396 to 430. He was a renowned theologian, a prolific writer for the church. And Augustine is reputed to have made this kind of cryptic statement. And I say cryptic because some people don't know exactly if he was saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek or if he was really saying it. A lot of people believe it was just kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of statement. But his statement was, love God and do as you please. Do as you please. Now, many, I believe, Christians today are living that statement out. Rather, not that this philosopher said it, but that Jesus would have made that statement himself, because I think many believers today have reasoned in their mind that since we are no longer under the law, that we are no longer under the law, but now under grace, that we have been given a liberty by grace to just go about living any way that we choose or please, that there is no rigid demand for right or wrong placed upon us, and that we just live as we please. Live according to the law of love. For if love is our true motivation, we will be pleasing God by whatever thing we are doing, because we are doing that in love. Now that's what many are proclaiming today. That doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how you're living your life, as long as the foundations of your choices are love, that you're free to do as you please. That's kind of along the lines that the bishop is making there. You know, love God and then just go off and do as you please. Now, would you think that would line up with Scripture? Hopefully I've preached enough here that you know that that's not true. That you don't just love God and then go off and do as you please. That'd be like me saying I love my wife, but then I just go off and do whatever I want. I don't treat her as I love her. I don't act as if I love her. I'm not faithful to her as I love her. That I just treat her badly. Well, that wouldn't be a true statement, would it? How could I say I love my wife? And yet the statement here is just love God and do as you please. And many in the church today are living that way. Love God and then just go out and do as you please. As long as the basis of what I'm doing, I can say, well, I'm doing it because of love. That principle alone is enough to validate whatever really wrong thing that I want to do. Doesn't matter if it's scriptural or not, long as I'm doing it in love. Now, I know for many of us that seems crazy, but there are many believers in the church today that the only rule that they follow is do as you please, only do in love. That's the underlying rule in which they apply. Now, they get this out of Matthew 22. Turn there with me, of course. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Many will point here, they'll say that is the ultimate law, the law of love, right? Do as you please, only do it out of love. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Now here's where they justify. Take that piece of scripture, those two statements rather, and they pull that out of context, away from holiness and righteousness and sin. They pull that out from that and they say the only law that we have today is the law of love. That we are fulfilling all the law if we are living in love. Satan loves to work in half-truths. And there is truth to that. You are, as Jesus said, fulfilling all the law and the prophets by whatever you do, doing it in love. That is true. But that doesn't then discard what Christ has said or what the Bible says of what is sin and righteous living. God doesn't call us to unrighteous living, but to righteous living. We can't use these two statements and discard all the rest that Jesus talks about. Like right here in John chapter 8. Turn back with me. And what does Jesus say here? In John chapter 8, that those that are living a life of sin are in a prison of sin, is really what he says here. They are living under this burden of sin. Chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews, you believe in me, you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth shall set you free. Of course, they have this question about what is freedom then? What do you mean we're not free? And then Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. So freedom isn't the freedom to go about living a sinful life. Christ has come to set us free
from sin. Not free to sin, not freedom towards sin, but He's to set us free to move away from sin, to be free from sin. I tell you though, love becomes for many the only deciding factor on what is good and what is bad. And they discard all the other places where Jesus has spoken on what is sin and how we should be living, not a life of sin, but from sin. So what did Jesus say here? Well, number one here, we are never free so long as we are living under the bondage of sin. We are never free as long as we are living under the bondage of sin. I want you to imagine for yourself sitting in a prison cell. I know that's very difficult, but imagine yourself as you are there in this very small prison cell that you have been convicted. You have been sentenced for whatever wrong that you've committed. And that you have been given a life sentence that you are now confined to this prison and this cell. This is it. This is your life as you know it. There's no getting out for good behavior. There's no parole for you in 10 or 15 years or 20 years. There's no compassionate release that is going to be given to you. Life outside of those four prison walls are over. Could you imagine? That's pretty a desperate feeling, I would think. That you are going to be confined to this prison forever. That cold bed and that small cell is all you will ever know forever. But let's say that something amazing happens. Let's say that there's someone who comes forward and pleads on your behalf. Someone that has clout. Someone that has influence and power. And they're able to do the very impossible. They're able to expunge your record. And now all of a sudden you receive this message that there is hope for you. That you are going to be let out of prison. That you're going to be free. Whereas there was no hope, now all of a sudden there's hope. They're coming to set you free, that someone has done the impossible and now you have been set free from this prison. And so they come. And they get you and they receive you and process you, give you back what all they took away from you, give you back your belongings, and you walk out those prison doors, they close behind you, and you have a second chance at life. Boy, could you imagine what that would feel like? That could be an overwhelming experience, wouldn't it? You who were once under the bondage of prison are now set free. I know that's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Really, a lot of us don't. Well, we kind of are like the Pharisees or the scribes here. We say to Jesus when we think of this, how are you to say to us that we are imprisoned? But really, Jesus is saying that's all of us, isn't it? We're all at one time in that prison. That prison of sin. That we all were lost, hopeless, with no hope of parole, no hope of getting out, no hope that we would ever see beyond that prison and that bondage, which is sin, he says. But then something miraculous happens. Something amazing happens. That someone comes forward that has clout, that has power, that has authority. And that person's Jesus, isn't he? And He sets us free from our prison of sin. Where we had no hope, where we were lost, Christ comes and opens the doors and frees us and gives us a new life He says all the old, all that old thing that was held against you, all your sins, all those wrongs have been completely wiped clean from your slate. I don't hold anything against you. You're a free man, a free woman. Go live your life now in this new freedom. Now, how many of us, though, after having received that freedom, we walked out of the jail, we're free, we've received this new life, how many of us would say, hold on, no, I'm going back. I'm going back to where I come. I want to go back into the prison, into bondage, into a place of that little cell. I'm going back into that old life. I don't want your freedom. How many would do that? I don't think anybody in their right mind would do that. And yet so many today have been freed from sin. And what do? Go right back into that old bondage, which Jesus says is sin. That's the bondage, sin. It's the bondage that holds us captive. And Jesus is saying, I set you free from that. Most assuredly, look at verse 34, I say to you, whomever commits sin is a slave to sin. That's a prisoner to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. That's saying that Jesus has the authority to set us free. Therefore, he says, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a teaching in the church today that God's love is changeless, it's unconditional, that His love is to each one of us just the same regardless of what we do. That God loves us just the way you are, and therefore you can just stay the way you are. Listen, again, half-truths. There's a lot of truth to some of the statements I made there. But then that last statement that you can just continue on living in sin, God doesn't want you to continue living in sin no more than He wants you to go back into the prison. He set us free from jail. He set us free from bondage. But there are many today saying that it's okay to just continue on living in sin because of freedom. You're free to live any way you want, any way you choose. Well, hopefully you choose not to live a life of sin. I heard one preacher say, God loves you just the way you are. That's true. But He loves you way too much to leave you that way. He loves you too much to leave you that way. He doesn't want you to remain in that same sinful condition and state. He wants you to be free from that. Christian liberty doesn't give believers the freedom to live any way that we want. Jesus came to save us from our sin, not for sin. When Jesus teaches about liberty, our freedom is freedom to live a life free from the bondage of sin. And that's what Jesus says throughout the Scriptures. Mark 14:38, He says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. John 14:15, if you love me, you will do what I have commanded. And so over and over we see here that God is calling us from a life of sin. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. This is a really good one. Paul says it much better. We're looking at the words of Jesus, but I want you to see here what Paul says about the life of sin and being dead unto sin. This is a really good chapter. If you've not read through the book of Romans, you need to spend some time in the book of Romans. It's like the constitution of the Christian. And Paul lays out a lot of doctrine here for the church. But notice here, this is kind of what we're talking about, and it really speaks to it better, I think, than I ever could. It says, what shall we say then? Verse 1 there in chapter 6 of the book of Romans. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is the excuse I'm talking about that many Christians are making. Should we just, because we have grace, because the law of love exists, that we're no longer under the law of love, does that mean by grace we can just go out and do anything we want and live any way that we want? Well, no. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make that. Notice here what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does he say? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ Jesus were baptized unto His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. There's that word again, slave of sin, prisoner, bondage. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it and its lust. And do not present your members, that is your body, as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then is the question? What then shall we sin? Again, he's asking the same question. Shall we go about sinning because we're no longer under the law? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, he says, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became now a slave to righteousness. I speak, he says, in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. Verse 21, but what fruit did you have then in these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin, and this is probably a very familiar verse for you, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, Paul says it good, doesn't he? You've been set free. You've been set free from the law. You've been given grace. But listen, friends, it's not just a freedom to go about living your life any way that you please. To love God and do as you please is self-contradictory. It would be more accurate to say, love God or do as you please. Not love God and do as you please. It cannot be both. Even the sinless Christ did not find the things that naturally pleased Him as a man to be consistent with the love for God, with love for God and others. He chose not to please Himself. And that's exactly, remember what He prayed in agony in Gethsemane, yet not as I will, but as You will. This Stanley C. Baldwin says, there is a tension between what we pleased to do and what we ought to do. However spiritual we may be, Jesus experienced that tension in the garden. No other temptation on his prayer makes sense. Had Jesus loved God and done as He pleased, there would have been no cross for Him and no salvation for us. And if we do as we please, there will be no cross for us. And as a result, the blessings for those around us that are meant to be blessed will not receive it. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I have commanded. Love is not selfish. It insists nor of its own way, nor is it resentful, nor does it rejoice in wrongdoing. The true fruit of love, the true fruits of love are both freedom and obedience. Freedom from sin and obedience to His commandments. Freedom and obedience. What does Jesus say about freedom and obedience? You have been set free from sin and bondage in your life so that you can freely live to be obedient to Him. That's what Jesus says about freedom and obedience. Not to live out your sinful life the way you desire, but to live a life that is submissive to the things of God, seeking to please Him in all that you do and say. Isn't that wonderful? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we do not take this grace that we have been given, even as Paul writes here to the Romans, this grace that we have received, this gift that we have received of being delivered from the law, Lord, I pray that we don't take that gift and use it then to live a life that is pleasing to our sinful flesh or our prideful self. Lord, I pray that we use that gift of freedom, being set free, to live a life of righteousness and holiness, a life that seeks to please You in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, help us be faithful as a people, as Your children, to living out that righteous life each and every day. Lord, we can't do it alone, and Lord, You don't expect us to do it alone. But You give us the help we need, even the Holy Spirit, whom is our helper living within us, Lord. He gives us the resources we need to be able to live out this righteous life and a life that is pleasing to You. Lord, thank You for Your Son setting us free from sin. Lord, setting us free to live a life that is now pleasing to You. Lord, we praise You and we praise Your Son, Jesus. Without Him, Lord, we would not receive this freedom. But it's through Him, Lord, that we have been set free. And who the Son sets free, Lord, as You said, is free indeed. Lord, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn. Page 405, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Let's stand together and sing. Page 405. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, as we go forth, Lord, we go forth into the world with this new freedom we've received and through your Son, Jesus. But Lord, we walk in obedience, Lord, because we have been set free from sin. And Lord, we seek to be obedient to you in all that we do, all that we say, Lord. We want to please you with our life, Lord. We want to live a life of righteousness, Lord, that brings pleasure to you. Not hurt you, but Lord, please you in what we do. Help us, Lord, to live that life. Live that life free from sin in obedience to you. Lord, we praise you now. Bless us, I pray, this week until we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.